Okay, it looks like everybody's here, so let's start. Hello everybody, I'm Chris. I'm here from the UK. I'm someone that's always interested in analysis services. I do a lot more Power BI now, but this session will be about Azure Analysis Services, which is a very exciting new topic, I think. These are all my contact details. I've been working with analysis services for almost 18 years now. So it's particularly exciting to see Azure Analysis Services, a new flavor of analysis services. In this session, we're going to cover pretty much everything that you'd want to know about Azure Analysis Services. What it is, how you develop for it, how you can buy it, how you can monitor it, and in particular, why you would want to use it. There are going to be a lot of reasons, some of which are obvious, some of which are maybe not so obvious, why Azure Analysis Services is so cool. But first of all, the obvious question: what is Azure Analysis Services? Well, it turns out that Azure Analysis Services is perhaps a little bit boring, because it is exactly what you would think it is. It is a platform as a service version of analysis services. Now, specifically, it is analysis services tabular and not multidimensional. We'll be talking more about that later. And it is analysis services tabular at the 1400 compatibility level, which is the same compatibility level as Analysis Services Tabular 2017. So the new version of Analysis Services Tabular, the on-premises version of which will be coming later this year. It's got pretty much all of the same features. There is a split between different tiers of Azure Analysis Services. So not all tiers have got all features, but that's kind of more or less the same as we've got with Analysis Services on-premises, at least with 2016, where there is a split between Standard Edition and Enterprise Edition. But this is a new service. It reached general availability in the middle of April, and now we can go away and use it. But before we go away and use it, it's worth spending a few minutes just to say, well, do we even need analysis services in this day and age? Why have Microsoft moved it to the cloud? Because, you know, after all, we have loads of cool new features in the world of cloud-based BI. Surely analysis services is one of those kind of out-of-date things that, you know, made sense if you were doing BI on-premises. But in the world of the cloud, we've got, you know, lots of cool things like Azure Data Lake Analytics, Azure SQL Data Warehouse, all of these other great new services from Microsoft and services from other people as well. Why do we need Azure Analysis Services? Well, usually I find the people that are asking that question are making the wrong assumption about why we need to use analysis services on-premises. Now, 18 years ago, it might have been the case that you would use analysis services on top of your SQL Server data warehouse to make your BI queries go faster. And, you know, that's still true today. If you're loading data into analysis services, whether it's on-premises or in the cloud, it is certainly the case that you will get, you know, very good query performance. But, you know, today we have all kinds of other great services from Microsoft and from other people that can do BI queries very, very quickly, and which are, to be honest, more scalable than analysis services. So why should we be bothering working with analysis services? Well, analysis services is not just about fast query performance. Although, like I said, it can perform very well. It probably performs well enough for most BI workloads. And the crucial thing is it can do calculations very quickly. But it is not just about that. It is about analysis services as being a semantic layer on top of your data. And this is something that analysis services does that a lot of these other BI tools do not. Now, you have to ask yourself the question, do your end users write good SQL? Can they even write any SQL? Are they writing code to get the data they need to do the calculations they want? Well, you know, maybe in some cases, but probably for the vast majority of your end users in a, you know, in most normal businesses outside Silicon Valley, most people think that using an Excel pivot table is rocket science. So for these users, this is where a semantic model comes in really useful. Because you put analysis services as a semantic model on top of your data, and then your end users will be able to drag and drop and build the reports that they need for their work, either in Excel or nowadays in Power BI. So, I think analysis services on premises and in the cloud still has a big role to play today, simply because it makes data access easier to a larger number of people. So, I think, therefore, it is a good thing to have Azure analysis services. But you might also say, well, what about Power BI? You know, isn't Power BI self-service BI? Doesn't that make it easier and faster for your end users to get at data? Well, yes, but again, you have to ask the same question. Do your end users want to build their own models in Power BI? Do you trust them to build their own models in Power BI? In some cases, yes. In other cases, well, no. And what do you mean by self-service BI anyway? Does self-service BI always mean you have to build everything from scratch? Or is it enough just to have people build their own reports? You know, a lot of people think of that as self-service BI. So hopefully my little rant is finished. You can see that analysis services is still relevant, and it's still a good idea to have it in Azure. And of course, you also need to remember with the whole Power BI question that the engine behind Azure Analysis Services is the same as the engine in on-premises analysis services. It's the same as the engine inside Power BI, on-premises and on the desktop. And it's the same as the engine inside the Excel data model, formerly known as Power Pivot. So this is just another manifestation of that powerful VertiPack engine. And people that learn their skills in one place will be able to transfer up seamlessly to perhaps do more complicated things in the cloud with Azure Analysis Services. All right, so enough of me trying to justify the existence of Azure Analysis Services. Whether you like it or not, it's here. So we're going to use it, or at least I'm going to use it, and hopefully you will use it after this session. Okay, how can we start with Azure Analysis Services? It is very, very easy. All you need is a credit card and an Azure subscription. If you've got some free Azure credits from Microsoft, it also helps. But what I'm going to do now is configure and provision a new Azure Analysis Services instance. And hopefully, if the internet is still working, this will be a very, very quick and easy job. Okay. So here we are in the Azure portal. And actually, let me start zoom it. This is the button that I'm going to press to add a new instance. All right, so let's call this Poland. I need to choose a new subscription. I'll just use that one. I'm going to use an existing resource group. I can choose a location. Now, Azure Analysis Services is not available in all data centers yet, but it's got a very good selection of existing data centers. So let's use Western Europe. Then I have to choose a pricing tier. We'll be talking about this in a lot more detail later, but to keep things simple and also to keep things cheap, because I have a habit of forgetting to turn off my instances after I've done a demo, I'm just going to use the cheapest tier, which is the D1 tier. Then here, I need to choose an administrator. This is going to be a user from my Azure Active Directory. And then here, in terms of storage, I don't need to worry too much about that. So let's click create. So let's add a storage account. Let's do that. Thought I had a storage account that I could use. And then I'm going to be able to just hit create here. Have I got a storage account? All right. Yes. Ah, yes, idiot. Sorry. Let's create. Okay. All right, now, in a moment, we will have our Azure Analysis Services instance configured. There we go, and it's done. So that was nice and quick, apart from the usual on-stage nerves of doing this live in front of a whole bunch of people. It's currently provisioning, but it's going to be ready for use any moment. So I'll leave that to work like that. It usually takes just a few minutes to do. And so hopefully by the stage I've got past this slide, it's going to be ready for use. If not, I've already got an existing instance that I can deploy to. So I've provisioned an instance of Analysis Services. It's there, it's working. The next thing I need to do is develop an Analysis Services tabular database. So what I need to do is I need to have Visual Studio, I need to have SSDT installed, I need to have the latest version of SSDT installed, and this is going to have to be a project in SSDT at the highest compatibility level, 1400. But after that, it's going to be fairly straightforward. It's going to be just a matter of building an Analysis Services tabular database in exactly the same way that you would build an on-premises Analysis Services database. Now, for those of you who've done Analysis Services tabular development before with Analysis Services 2016 or before, there is going to be a big difference. With the new higher 1400 compatibility level, you're going to be able to use the new Power Query integration for loading data into your tabular model. This is not going to be a problem if you've used Power BI or Power Query in Excel to load data. And in fact, it does pretty much everything that you've been able to do before, plus some new options. Now, this is going to be the subject of my session tomorrow, where I talk in more detail about what this means for this new functionality means for working with Analysis Services Tabular. But it's just going to be a matter of connect to your data sources, build your model, build a measure, and then deploy. So let's do that. All right, let me take the server name from here and copy it. And here I've got Visual Studio with the latest version of SSDT installed. I go to File, New, Project. I'm going to create a new Analysis Services project. Let's call this Poland demo again. Click OK. And then here, I'm going to be asked to select whether to use an integrated workspace or a workspace server. Integrated workspaces are the relatively new feature where you do not have to have a separate Analysis Services instance for your workspace server. You can use an instance of Analysis Services working inside Visual Studio. And then I'm going to choose the latest compatibility level, 1400, for my project. Click OK. And I have a new project. I'm going to import from a data source. This is where we'll start to see the new Power Query interface for connecting to data. Choose Azure SQL Database. Click Connect. Is there anybody from Redgate here? Good. I'm using a free database provided by Redgate because I'm cheap. I don't want to spend money on using my own SQL database. But it's basically a database with some AdventureWorks and some Northwind data in it. But I enter my server name and database name, click OK. I need to enter the username. The reason I'm OK with showing you this username and password is that, to be honest, it's published on a public website that Redgate have probably forgotten about. Somebody somewhere is probably wondering why they're seeing all this activity all of a sudden on their database. But we've connected to a data source. And this is, again, the new Power Query interface, where I can choose the tables that I want to connect to. And I'm going to choose some tables. So let's choose order details and orders and products and customers. And that's going to be enough. So what's going to happen now is that I could, if I wanted to, edit what data is loaded in the query editor UI here. I'm not going to do that because that would spoil my presentation for tomorrow. And I'm just going to click import. And in a few moments, the data will start to load. It will start to load in a few moments. The trouble with this version of SSDT is that it is a little bit unreliable sometimes. But it is thinking about it, I hope. Come on. Ah, all right, OK. Are you going to load some data? All right. Let's perhaps import some tables and try that again. This is going to be a cursed session, I can tell. We will connect to the database again. Connect. Come on. Come on, don't do this to me. Of course, it was working perfectly when I was testing this earlier. So we'll check. Ah, all right. I think we've already loaded some tables. It was doing something in the background. OK. All right, so I knew it was going to load those tables eventually. And you can see that it's loading that data into the integrated workspace. And this should be very quick. Of course, usually when I do this, it is much, much quicker than this. Oh, dear. All right. Let's move on. So this is obviously not going to work. But what I would be able to do after this is I would be able to change my deployment server here to be the name of my server. Click OK. See if that's going to reload maybe just one more time. No, I don't think that is. All right. So let's close that project and use the one that I was doing just a moment ago, which does work. So here's one I prepared earlier, which has imported all of its data. And really, all I've done is imported the same set of tables. And I've got a measure in here. And if we go to the Solution Explorer, I have put in the name of a database in here. And I can go to build and deploy. I need to log in. Let's try that. And now we are deploying up to my Azure Analysis Services instance. And of course, when I do the previously created project, it has imported all of those rows very, very quickly. All right, enough of that. And of course, now that I've got an existing instance with a model in, I would be able to connect to it. Let's choose this. And here we are in Excel. I can connect to my deployed model from Excel. This is Excel 2016. They've changed around the data tab a little bit here. But if I click and connect to my server, I can use a username and password. Click Next. Connect to my model. Create a pivot table and browse a model that's been created in the cloud. So it's still quite soon after GA, so perhaps some of these problems will be ironed out soon. I think the problem here really is mostly with the version of SSDT rather than Azure Analysis Services itself. But it should be fairly straightforward to do. And more or less the same as building an on-premises analysis services database. Now, in that example, I was connecting to a cloud-based database. If you want to be able to connect to your on-premises databases in the same way that you would perhaps want to connect to your on-premises databases like SQL Server from Power BI, you will need to install something called the on-premises gateway. Now, eventually, this is going to be the same version of the on-premises gateway that is used by Power BI, Flow, and all of these other services. Right now, it's still not quite finished. So there is a separate version which can't be installed on the same machine as all of these other gateways and only supports a limited number of data sources like SQL Server, APS, Oracle, and Teradata. But to be honest, these are probably the ones on premises that you care about most. One of the cool things about Azure Analysis Services is that everything can be automated. You can create new instances in code very easily. You can delete instances. You can stop and start, or sorry, pause and resume. You can do all of the other things that you would normally do, for example, through PowerShell, like processing your database, processing individual tables, and so on and so forth. So if you're very into PowerShell, Azure Analysis Services is going to be very exciting because you're going to be able to do a whole load of new things as well as all of the things you were already able to do in PowerShell with Analysis Services on premises. Now, at this point, we have Analysis Services in the cloud, which does everything that Analysis Services on premises does. So we need to start thinking about what the differences between on premises and Azure Analysis Services are, and why you would use one and not the other. Probably the first thing to talk about is the pricing, because the pricing model is very interesting. It's perhaps a little bit more complicated than what you might be used to, but it could be quite compelling in certain situations. There are three basic tiers of pricing for Azure Analysis Services. There is a developer tier, there is a basic tier, and then there is a standard tier. Now, developer is really only used for or intended for development scenarios. Now, that means that it has fairly low specifications. That means that there is no service level agreement associated with it. And it also means that it is something that you perhaps could consider for production use, because it is actually not limited by license for purely development purposes. But it's really just intended for for development use. If you want to go up to production levels, where at least there is going to be an SLA, you've got basic and standard, which are very similar to standard edition and enterprise edition on premises. On the basic tier, you are missing a couple of key features, for example, direct query, perspectives, and most importantly, partitioning. With basic tier, you can only have one partition per table. On the standard tier, which a bit confusingly is kind of the same as enterprise edition on premises, you have the full enterprise edition capabilities of analysis services. At the moment, if you want to test things out, before the end of June, all of the prices have a 50% discount applied. But that's only going to be for the next 2 weeks now. So if you want to play with analysis services in the cloud, you need to be very, very quick. There is apparently going to be a dev test offer coming soon for people that want to be able to develop and test their Azure Analysis Services instances on a much larger data volume, larger than the developer tier can handle, but that hasn't been published yet either. So we've got three tiers: developer, basic, and standard. And these three tiers are divided up into pricing levels. Now, you can go to the Microsoft website and the Azure Analysis Services pricing page. You can choose your region, and then choose your currency, and then you can see how much per month an instance of Azure Analysis Services will cost you approximately. Now, I say approximately very, very carefully for reasons that will become clear on the next slide. But you can see that developer is going to be about $100 a month. And if you go up to the highest spec standard tier pricing level, that's going to be about $6,000 a month. But this is only approximate if you are going to stay on the same pricing tier and use the same and have your server available the whole time. So there are two very important features of Azure Analysis Services that are relevant for how much you're going to pay. The first is that you can move up and down between pricing levels dynamically. And this is, again, something you can script, something that you can automate. There are going to be limitations. You can move up and down pricing levels within each tier. So if you're on a standard S1, you can move up to a standard S2. That's going to be perfectly OK. You can move from basic pricing levels and basic tier up to standard, but you can't move from standard back down to basic or from basic down to developer. So if you decide you're going to use standard, you can move up and down between the standard pricing tiers, but you can't move down to basic. Also, you can pause a server. And this is, again, something that you can automate. And when you pause a server, you do not pay for that server. There is no cost at all. So we will think about the implications of this in a moment. But the price that you see on the Azure Analysis Services pricing page is unlikely to be the price that you end up paying when you've gone into production, because you're clever people, and you're going to be able to manipulate these features to pay less. The other question that we probably need to ask based on that table that I've just shown you is, what is a QPU? So there are two facets of a pricing tier. There is a QPU, which tells you roughly how much processing capacity each instance has got. And this is going to be useful for not only loading data, but also for handling queries, doing calculations, and those sorts of things. And each pricing tier has an associated number of QPUs. So QPU stands for Query Processing Unit, although, like I said, that's misleading because this also applies to loading data as well. And roughly speaking, this is a relative unit of query processing capacity. So 200 QPUs will be twice as fast as 100 QPUs. And according to the documentation, 100 QPUs is going to be roughly equal to 5 pretty fast cores on a server. So here, for example, if we've got a developer tier instance with 20 QPUs, that's already going to be 20 divided by 5, 4 pretty fast cores. 100 divided by 5, which is going to be 1 pretty fast core, which is probably going to be enough for most development purposes. The next question you've got to ask is, how much memory do I need? Because each of these tiers has got a certain amount of storage associated, which is basically the amount of memory that you're going to be able to use to hold your tabular data model. Tabular is an in-memory database engine. You need to have enough memory, enough storage listed here, to be able to store your data model. The bad news is, as anybody that uses Analysys Services Tabular knows, it's pretty much impossible to work out how much memory your data is going to take up until you've actually built your model. So really, you're going to have to test and see how much data you need, how much memory you need. And what's more, you also have to take into account other things. For example, when you're reprocessing your data model, you might find that memory usage spikes depending on what type of processing you do. You might find that when you are running certain types of queries with complex calculations, your memory usage might increase as well. So these are things that you need to take into account. And of course, it's likely that your data volumes are going to change over time. So the more data that gets added to your data warehouse, the larger your tabular model will get, the more memory you're going to need to buy. You do have some options for monitoring your instance inside the Azure portal. So for example, we've got some activity logs. We've also got some nice features here for looking at things like the number of QPUs that have been used and also the amount of memory that's been used. So if I go here to monitoring metrics, I can choose, for example, how much data has been used in the last hour. Let's change this to a bar. And if I go to memory, I can see at the moment I'm using about 561 meg for this particular instance. And I could also have a look and find the number of QPUs that have been used. And when I did that reprocess at around probably 11:25, I was using almost 0.8 of a QPU. So again, this is going to be something that you have to look at usage over time, and probably guess how many QPUs you'll need to be able to do your processing as quickly as possible. Look at usage by your users, find out how many concurrent users you've got, work out how many QPUs you will need for a normal load on your Analysys Services instance. There are other options for monitoring as well. Extended events now work. They didn't in the past in preview, but they work now. You can also use DMVs to monitor Analysys Services Tabular as well. Now, the results you get from DMVs are not guaranteed to be 100% accurate, but I'm assured they are close enough to be useful in most cases. So again, you've got more or less the same options for monitoring Azure Analysys Services as you've got for Analysys Services Tabular on-premises. It's just that some of this stuff takes place in the Azure portal. So this is where we are at the moment. The interesting thing to look at is where Azure Analysys Services is going in the future. And there are a couple of interesting planned features. If you ever want to see what's planned and what people have suggested, you can go on the internet to the Azure Analysys Services feedback page. This is where you can suggest new features. This is where you can see what other people have suggested and vote on those features as well. So we can, for example, filter by things that have been planned. And here we can see that there are a number of features that people have suggested, and that planned icon says this is going to be something that is going to come in the future. So all we need to do to find out what's coming, potentially, is to have a look down here and see what the interesting new features are that have been planned. There are two big features which are going to be coming at some point in the near future. The first is some kind of integration with Power BI. Because as we'll see in a minute, one of the main reasons why you might want to use Azure Analysis Services is as part of your scale up story from Power BI. So in order for that to happen, we need a way of taking our Power BI data model and publishing it to Azure Analysis Services. And to be able to say, well, now my self-service scenario needs to be moved up to something a bit more corporate with larger amounts of data, memory available, more QPUs, and perhaps the ability for the IT department to monitor and look after this model. So this is planned. We don't know what is coming, but something is coming soon. The other thing that's quite interesting that's been talked about is some kind of equivalent of network load balancing. For people who use analysis services on premises, the common way of scaling out analysis services on premises is to use network load balancing. In Azure Analysis Services, we have been promised something similar and something perhaps easier to configure, maybe at the click of a button where you can say, well, let's just copy my Azure Analysis Services instance and then just dynamically distribute our users' queries over these different instances. So that's going to be pretty cool. Now, those are the things that are definitely planned. There are a few other things, but those aren't so exciting. If we think about what's under review, and we look at what the most highly voted feature for Azure Analysis Services is, it is support for analysis services multidimensional. Because, of course, Azure Analysis Services is tabular only, and not everybody is using tabular. A lot of people, perhaps the majority of analysis services users out there, are using analysis services multidimensional. Now, it seems like there is a lot of goodwill on the part of the Azure Analysis Services team to the idea of doing analysis services multidimensional. But the standard answer is, well, we've got a lot of things to do with tabular at the moment, and hopefully we'll get to analysis services multidimensional in the cloud soon. Will we ever see it? I don't know. There is certainly a lot of pressure from the user community for analysis services multidimensional in the cloud. And maybe if everybody puts enough pressure on Microsoft, we will get to see it eventually. But there are going to be lots of other features that have been voted for by a lot of people, which are probably going to be more likely to be delivered in the near future. So things like support for processing our model from inside the Azure portal. At the moment, you can only process from a script from, for example, SQL Server Management Studio or from Visual Studio. But really, it would be great to be able to go to the Azure portal and process a model as well. Things like geo-redundancy as well. So being able to copy your analysis service, Azure Analysis Services model across multiple Azure regions, that would be a really cool thing as well to have. Right, for the last 15, 20 minutes of this session, it is worth considering why you would want to use Azure Analysis Services instead of Analysis Services on premises. So we've touched on some of these issues, but it's worth going into a few, more detail about some of the issues here. The first obvious reason why you would use Azure Analysis Services is probably the least interesting one. It's because you're moving everything to the cloud and you want to be able to do analysis services in the cloud as well. And of course, in the cloud, everything is cheaper, more reliable. Microsoft looks after everything. It's more secure. You won't have the Russians hacking your data, blah, 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 blah. All of those arguments that apply to everything cloud-based also apply to Azure Analysis Services. So let's move on. Let's think about the pricing structure again. So we've seen that you can move up and down between tiers dynamically. Well, you can move up tiers dynamically. You can move up and down between pricing levels dynamically. And you can also pause servers and not pay for their usage. Now, most analysis services workloads vary a lot over time. If you think about usage on your analysis services server, it is going to vary by time of day because, at least if you're based in one country, your users come into the office at 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, they'll be running reports during the day, and then they go home at 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening, and then, apart from a few people, there will be very few people running reports, hitting the server. At the same time, if you think about day of week, there is going to be a lot more load between Monday and Friday than you would get on Saturday and Sunday. So, we've got varying loads by time of day, by day of week. We also may have varying loads by day of the month. You know, if you're working with financial data, month end will always be a very, very difficult time because everybody wants to be able to run their reports then. Perhaps the day after that's finished, very few people are running reports. Now, with a traditional BI implementation, you need to architect for those peaks for when everybody is using the server. And then, of course, as a result of that, all of those times when people aren't using the server, or you aren't using analysis services, you sit there thinking, wow, look at all those servers doing nothing, you know, with no memory usage, no CPU usage. Isn't that a big waste? With Azure Analysis Services, you can imagine that you can say, well, perhaps everybody is at home asleep at midnight, and nobody's going to come in and run a query perhaps until 6 o'clock, so let's turn off the server. Let's pause it so we don't have to pay for those 6 hours when everybody's asleep. Or maybe if we know that maybe only one or two people need to be able to run queries, we can go down a pricing tier for the night when we know we don't need all of that extra capacity. We can do the same thing at the weekend when there is less usage. Perhaps we know that there is going to be some important day coming in the future where people need to run lots of reports. We can scale up dynamically to meet that, and then when that brief period is finished, we can scale down as well. So if you're clever with your scripting and moving up and down between tiers, you can pay a lot less money. You can pay for the times when you need the capacity, when you need the performance, and you can pay less for the situations when you don't. The other interesting scenario to think about in more detail is the whole Power BI scale-up story. Now, if we think about just Power BI Pro subscriptions, then somebody with a Power BI Pro subscription has got a lot of limitations. For a start, they are only able to publish a data model that is at most 1 gigabyte. And per Power BI Pro subscription, they can only ever publish 10 gigabytes worth of data model. So those are the obvious things that most Power BI Pro users know about. What isn't so well known, or at least hasn't been so well known recently, is that when you're using a Power BI Pro subscription, Microsoft does some throttling at that level to say, well, you know, let's make sure that you as one user don't hog all of the shared resources that Power BI runs under. So you will find that perhaps in some cases your queries and your reports run more slowly than others. If, for example, Microsoft decides that you're using too many resources, or perhaps if somebody else is using resources on the same hardware that Power BI, your Power BI tenant is running under. So Power BI Pro has got these hard limits with the amount of data that you can work with, and also there is going to be no guarantee of, you know, consistent performance or even of good performance on very large data models. If you want to get away from that, you have two choices now. One of those choices is Power BI Premium, the new premium subscription level that Microsoft has released a couple of weeks ago. The other is to say, well, instead of storing my data model in Power BI, I'm going to move it to Azure Analysis Services. If you go to Azure Analysis Services, you can work with much larger volumes of data. It's dedicated capacity, so you're going to get much more consistent query performance, and you'll get faster query performance as well. And you get, you know, more of everything the more money you spend. So by moving your data to Azure Analysis Services, you're going to get better performance and more consistency from Power BI. But then you think, well, OK, but what about Power BI Premium? What's the choice there? And this is actually an interesting topic that people are only really just coming to grips with. One of the main criticisms that people have leveled at Power BI Premium is that it starts at a very, very expensive level. The cheapest Power BI Premium subscription is $5,000 a month. Now, that is not directly comparable with Azure Analysis Services. Power BI Premium includes something like Azure Analysis Services at the back end for storing your data. It also includes some dedicated capacity for rendering your reports, running the web-based UI for front-end things as well. So you can only really compare Power BI Premium as a service with Azure Analysis Services when you're thinking about back-end model performance. But even then, when you think about the cheapest price being $5,000 a month, and you look at the pricing tiers here, well, you know, the second highest pricing tier for the S level, which gives you considerably more memory and QPU, the equivalent of QPUs than you would get with a Power BI Premium subscription, is $3,000 a year, a month. And sorry, yeah, so that's going to be $2,000 a month less than Power BI Premium. And of course, here, remember, you can scale up and scale down on demand, so you might well be paying a lot less. So I would say Azure Analysis Services is going to be perhaps a cheaper and more flexible option than Power BI Premium for a lot of users. It's not an obvious choice, though, because like I said, Power BI Premium gives you this extra capacity for rendering reports that you don't get with Azure Analysis Services. And also, there's the question of support and maintainability. With Power BI Premium, you get something that is almost a black box, which is very easy to manage. It's something that perhaps in a small company, your end users or perhaps a kind of generic IT person would be able to manage quite easily. Azure Analysis Services is analysis services, and you need a trained professional to be able to monitor it and use it and care for it and feed it. So there will be a higher cost of ownership. But if you've already got analysis services administrative DBA skills in-house, then perhaps Azure Analysis Services is the more obvious choice here than Power BI Premium. Something else that's worth mentioning is, well, you know, if I've got large amounts of data, couldn't I just use direct query mode in Power BI rather than buy premium storage or go to Azure Analysis Services? Well, you can. That is certainly an option. It's certainly an option in some cases. But what I found with direct query mode in the customers that I've got that have tested it, while it might be the cheapest option overall, it can give you very inconsistent query performance. It will certainly give you much worse query performance than using an imported data set or if you're using, for example, Azure Analysis Services. And it also has limitations, especially in terms of the types of calculation that you can do and the types of calculation that you can do in DAX measures efficiently. So it is not always going to be an option, especially for the more complicated data models that you've got. And of course, you've got to remember as well that Azure Analysis Services supports direct query mode as well. One of the other things that you will get on top of Power BI, in Power BI that you don't get with regular Power BI, is at least some kind of management about your data model. At the moment with Power BI, you build a data model in Power BI Desktop, and you publish it up to Power BI. And then, of course, you lose or forget where you've put that Power BI desktop file, and then somebody leaves the company or your hard disk dies, and you've lost that Power BI file. And then, well, nowadays you can download a new file again, but, you know, putting your data model inside a Power BI desktop file is perhaps not the ideal place to keep something that you've spent hours and hours working on. Realistically, you would want to be able to keep that inside Visual Studio and then be able to check it into your favorite source control provider, which, of course, you can do with Azure Analysis Services because you design your Azure Analysis Services databases inside Visual Studio. What's more, with Azure Analysis Services, when you're working in Visual Studio, you have tools like BISM Normalizer. BISM Normalizer is a free tool that you can now download and use for on-premises and cloud-based analysis services instances. And this allows you to do things like schema compare, partial deployment, you know, deploy just one measure change and not the whole thing, and lots of other cool things. So if you're the kind of person that likes to have that level of control over your data model and what you deploy and be able to, you know, check into source control, and you know, who doesn't want to be able to check into source control, there are some clear advantages to using Azure Analysis Services over Power BI. The last thing that I want to talk about is something actually that I've seen in quite a few of my customers. And this is probably the least obvious use of Azure Analysis Services, but one that I think is still very important. A lot of companies want to carry out something like something you could call B2B BI. A lot of companies sell data and analytics to their customers. A lot of companies have a service and then want to be able to add some kind of analytics on top of that service so that their customers can see, you know, what has been achieved, what they've delivered, what kind of things are being done. Now, traditionally, if you were doing this using analysis services on premises, what you might have done is you'd have a big analysis services server, and then you'd have one database on this server for every single one of your customers that you wanted to be able to deliver reports to. The trouble with doing that is that there are going to be some cases, less now with Analysis Services 2016, but still important, there are going to be some cases where processing, for example, on one database locks the entire server and affects the ability of other people to connect to the other databases and get their data. What's more, if you're on a shared server where you've got lots and lots of small databases, you're processing one database for one customer, and that could affect the performance of all of your other customers' reports. You could have one customer that insists on running lots and lots of reports, perhaps because they're exporting all of their data to Excel. That will, again, also affect the performance of other customers' reports. So, if you're delivering BI to a large number of people and you've got a large number of databases on a single on-premises analysis services instance, there are a number of problems with performance and locking that you have to deal with. Now, with Azure Analysis Services, you don't have to put everything on one big server. You could create one instance of Azure Analysis Services for each customer. And then everything is insulated. You can process, and it's not going to affect your other customers. You can run queries, and it will not affect your other customers. You have one customer that only looks at their reports once a week. They can go on a very low pricing tier. You have one customer that wants to run lots and lots of reports and perhaps is willing to pay for that. Well, you just put them on a higher pricing tier. So in that situation, when you're running a large number of analysis services databases, it probably makes sense to think about Azure Analysis Services because it's going to give you a lot more flexibility than trying to run all of these databases on premises on one single server. That brings me to the end of my session. Hopefully, I've convinced you that if you already use Analysis Services on premises, it's worth checking out Analysis Services in the cloud. Not just for the fact that it's in the cloud and therefore cool, but there could be good pricing reasons, and hopefully in the future there will be other amazing, you know, interesting new features for people to scale up and scale out as well. I'm happy to take questions now if you want, but if not, I'll be hanging around afterwards and I can answer questions online, offline. Thank you.